Now, back to your tech report.
My next guest is a recurring character now on the show. He is the vice chair of the Linux Foundation Networking Mac. I'm not really sure what that means, but you guys can figure it out. You can follow him online at IntoSandeep, that's S-A-N-D-E-E-P, on all your social media. Sandeep Panesar, welcome back to your tech report. Thank you for joining us again.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be here.
So a couple weeks ago, we had you on. We talked all about the Rogers outage. If I can speak, it would be a lot better. I think we've since kind of recovered from that in terms of our communications. But it brought up a conversation that you actually introduced, which was, I guess, business continuity is the buzzword. And that led me down a rabbit hole because I've got a lot of clients. I myself, you know, look at things like business continuity. How do I keep my systems up and running when something like that happens or could happen in the future? Because there's no doubt it's going to happen again. And, you know, the reason I never really went down the rabbit hole deep enough was because in my mind, and granted, it's about 10 years old, it was a very expensive endeavor for any business, small, medium, large, to have multiple carriers and worry about the load and making sure things failed over properly. Now, I called you up. I said, hey, is it still expensive? Because I've got a client who's doing in the broadcast world. And you said, no, Mark, this is, I said, you know what? Stop. Don't even answer the question. Let's get you on the show. And here we are today to dispel the myth, or hopefully dispel the myth, and make people realize that it's not an expensive endeavor anymore. This is not tens of thousands of dollars to make sure your business can stay up and running, right?
Yeah, for the most part, yes. I think these days you don't need to spend exorbitant amount of funds, right, to do this. Now, what I will say is larger corporations that have access to larger cash pools will go out and they will buy MPLS connections and connectivity and put that stuff in place for their infrastructure. And that's because that's something they want to do, right? So if you look at dark fiber, lit fiber, et cetera, right? That just means that you have services on the fiber or not. And so these are things that larger organizations will do. So they have direct connections, direct connectivity, et cetera.
And those companies obviously realize the importance of business continuity. I think a lot of the smaller businesses, especially with this recent outage, are now realizing that they need to worry about this.
Well, so here's the funny thing here, right? In all of this is, a lot of those companies realize they need to do it, but they were still not doing it. They were just paying for hardened connections, right? So if you think about what fiber actually was, okay, you'll have two providers, but they're using each an X number of strands, but they're all still going through the same conduit. So if the conduit gets cut, you're still screwed, right? So that's not diversity. Diversity, real diversity, means that you have one path coming from one side, one path coming in from another side, and that's how you make it diverse. You have two different providers, but you also have two different relay options. And you know, the person on the street doesn't necessarily know how that's all getting to them. They don't know the history about how DSL was created, how cable was created, and how they were all put together. But the one thing that we do know as common people, right, myself included, is that cable and DSL are completely different, which means that if you get one and one, then you can be safe. So the nice thing about today's technology is that you're able to bond multiple carriers and connections together. You're able to create a single tunnel for your site or for your location, and then you can connect it to any kind of clouds. So your redundancy is built in if you go with one of those types of services. Now, that does mean that you have to pay for two connections or two last mile connections to your place. But same token, if the technology is good enough, then you know you can do single IP failover. You can do things like, you can do things like single IP failover. You can create a single tunnel around all of that stuff. And you can also, cut from wireline to wireless. So meaning that if you have the right type of hardware, you can go from 5G to LTE to a wired connection if you really needed to. So think about a remote site. You can bring that, like these are what we in the industry call near net, right? So they're kind of close, but it'd be too expensive to bring them online. So you can bring these near net sites online. Then you can make them redundant and you could not make the site redundant, but make the connectivity redundant. And then also create diverse paths for them. So that's a huge deal and a game changer. And in terms of cost and cost pricing, if you look at what the cost of an MPLS is, like if we're talking about trenching conduits, we're talking about, tractors that are coming in and like literally digging up the road. You know, and then splicing off and going to your site, like that's expensive stuff, right? It's not cheap. And that all goes back to the customer.
Let me rewind a bit because, you know, there's people out there listening that know all the buzzwords you're talking about, know what MPLS is, know the history of telecom. But I think it's important to sometimes go back for a second and make people understand. Let's go 50 years ago, you know, when it came to a building, and let's use Bell as the example, because they were the monopoly at one given point in time. A building, you know, popped up and there was literally one conduit, one pipe going to that building with cable for all the services in that building. And that's what you're talking about when you're talking about the physical conduits. It's actually literally a conduit with normally with copper cable in there. And that's that right. Might have been modernized and people might have passed fiber optic line. But as you said, Bell might use that. Videotron might use that. Tech Savvy and other companies might lease lines off of Bell. So just because you're using these different carriers does not mean that there's another physical pipe going outside of your building. So as you said, if that gets cut, everybody's cut. It's not only Bell, Rogers, and whatever's using that pipe. It's everybody in that pipe. So when you talk about trenching and bringing in new lines, that's literally physically getting tractors on site and connecting a fiber line from another part of the city into your building. And that can be costly. There are companies that will definitely eat the cost of that if obviously they see the benefit of other subscribers in the building. I've done that before. I've seen that before. But, you know, our infrastructures now, and I know this is going to be dependent on location, do they even consider that anymore when they're going into a building? I know if you're in the data business, then definitely you're looking at that kind of thing on the IT side. But, you know, brick and mortar businesses, look at your small companies from, like, I don't know, 5 to 100 employees. They don't even think about that, do they?
No, they absolutely don't. And I think that's where the challenge that we have is, right? So the challenge at we, and it's a royal we, right? But the challenge that we have is, how do we want to look at our business continuity? Because the thing is, you can go all the way down, right? But are you going to bring extra conduit and extra fiber and all that stuff into the building? No, that's never going to happen, right? It's just way too costly, way too expensive. Now, I have had customers, which were data centers, who have done that, but they need to do that because they need to have that diversity, that redundancy, and that's what they do because they are providing a service for their customers. But if you're talking about like a mom and pop or like me, like, you know, working from home or whatever the case may be, I'm not trenching an extra fiber. Like, it's just not worth it unless I'm making like a ton of cash and it's a profit center, then great. You know, maybe I'll do that. And maybe because it's such a profit center, like it comes down to a money equation, but the reality is, exactly. But the reality is, if you are work from home or a Roho, like remote office, home office, or you know, a Soho kind of office, then you know, one cable connection, one DSL connection, bonded together, or not even doesn't even have to be bonded; it can just be pure failover, right? Because there's lots of companies out there that are doing failover.
And bonded, by the way, means you're using both connections bandwidth to make a more stable connection, whereas failover is if one goes down, the other one picks up the load.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm explaining it to the audience out there who may not understand. No, you know, I take it for granted sometimes when we have conversations like this that that everybody listening understands the terminology and stuff that we're using. But it's totally normal, guys out there, that you might not know what that stuff means. And unless you've encountered it personally, sometimes it's one of these things that's like, okay, well, you take it for granted. And I think that really brings us back to the beginning, which is how a lot of businesses approach it. They get a line, I got internet, that's great. They don't think about the consequences. And things like that Rogers outage makes you think about the consequences and how it may affect your business. Which is why, for example, in my house, I've got Bell, which is fiber. I've got Videotron, which is cable, separate physical connections. However, I could tell you it's still going on the same telephone pole on the outside of my house. So if that pole's cut, I'm still screwed. That's why I've got wireless as a backup.
Well, and you're 100% right there, right? So, you know, that last mile, that piece, what we call last mile, right? Which is probably longer than a mile, right? It's usually from
kilometers
from the slam, wherever the slam is, or wherever the cable drop off is, right? That comes to your house. But they all go through the same poles. They're all in the same lines. When it gets cold in winter and covered with ice, and one of those cables snap, you're done, right? Doesn't matter what you've got in your house, and it's because it's all coming down the same track. But I think the thing that businesses need to think about is perhaps less, and particularly I'm speaking to the small businesses or the people that are working from home, those kind of businesses that are never going to trench. They're never going to put extra wire in. And even if you put extra wire in, guess what? It's probably going to go through the same track that the other conduit went, which means that unless you pay extra money to go through a different path, if one gets cut, the other one's going to get cut. So it's kind of irrelevant. You know, we come up with this idea of redundancy, but redundancy is really based on what is your risk acceptance level. So as a business, you sit there and you go, okay, so what is the risk that I'm willing to take? It's just like insurance.
Yeah.
You know, you pay for insurance. So what is the risk that I'm willing to pay for? What is the risk I'm willing to mitigate? Whether it's one of my key men in the organization, whether it's an executive or someone else in the organization or a key woman, you pay for that risk insurance. And then once that's done, then you just pray that it never happens.
Yeah.
But I think the thing for business continuity is when it happens, you suddenly go, everything that I paid for this business continuity is suddenly worth it because I'm up, you're down, I still have my interact, I can still charge customers. Think of a restaurant, pick any restaurant you want, right? If their ability to take money in is compromised, then they can't sell anything.
Yeah.
Which means that their stock is going bad, which means that, you know, customers are leaving, which means that they can't take in money, which means that they're losing money, right? So it's a whole, it's all tied together. But if we boil it down, what it comes down to is that whole piece of how do we connect our businesses, souls, whatever you want, to all the other people that are coming to consume our products because we have developed a reputation or a brand or whatever the case may be. And how do we ensure that they can still get the same quality of service? And quality of service is an interesting thing because if you think about quality of service, everybody and quality of service is a technical term, QoS, right? Which is literally quality of service. But think about that for a second. From a business standpoint, quality of service is how am I serving my customers? How am I doing this? How am I delivering my product to you? But from an infrastructure standpoint, quality of service is how am I getting you packets and information back and forth?
How reliable?
And how am I being reliable and how am I prioritizing things? Right. So that quality of service comes from the service industry. It's just been imprinted on the infrastructure industry or group or whatever you want to call it. And that is the same thing. It's like if you go to McDonald's, quality of service is how fast, how quick, and how good. Now you think about infrastructure, it's how fast, how quick, how good. Do I stay up? Are we still delivering the same product and the same service? So business continuity is about the quality of service.
So let's flash back for a second. Let's think out loud and have a hypothetical conversation here. So let's assume our wireless carriers are reliable. Let's say they use different, you know, they use different frequencies, different poles, et cetera, et cetera. How reliable is wireless as our failover? And is it cost effective or is it affordable or attainable by, you know, regular mom and pop shop to just diversify their carriers? And do they end up down the same rabbit hole, which is same conduit, same path of information? If I use Rogers and I use Bell, are they using the same frequencies because my phone uses the same frequencies? Are they using the same path or are we down that same rabbit hole having one tunnel out to the world?
When it comes to things like 5G and LTE, everybody buys off of everybody. The towers are all shared. Well, I shouldn't say all shared, mostly shared, depending on which province you're in. Now I'm speaking specifically about Canada. Canada is a little bit of a show in terms of how we do things. Canada is very expensive for LTE and 5G. So if you're going to spend money on data and things like that, it's very hard. The VoLTE, which is the voice over LTE, or I guess it will be VO5G, whatever they're calling it now. That's expensive, right? Because you're using data, you're consuming data, right? The only reason it's expensive is because that's just the way it's regulated in Canada. And that's the way we do our pricing. And that's the way we do everything. But you go to Europe, it's dirt cheap. You go to the US, it's dirt cheap to do that kind of stuff. So is it a good, reliable backup solution? Yes. Is it cost effective? Not in Canada, but everywhere else in the world, it absolutely is. You know, Canada is probably the worst culprit in terms of pricing for this kind of stuff. And I'm sure you're well aware, we pay some of the world's highest cell rates and things like that. But we also have 3-4 companies here that are all fighting each other with one that's just consuming everything, every province as it gets a chance. So Canada's not the greatest example. You know, if I use Europe, it's dirt cheap. If I use the US, it's dirt cheap. And yes, it is a good failover solution. So if you imagine, and particularly with 5G, because 5G is
up the game in terms of speed and exactly
right, which means you can now get similar kind of data speeds, if not better, on your 5G. And let's face it, if your wireline service is down, your wireless service will take over, and hopefully you're with a provider that can do a seamless cutover, right? You know, 300 milliseconds or less. And which means you're not going to lose any of your voice, your data, any of that kind of stuff as you are transitioning. And if you're going to do pure redundancy, then, you know, at least your business stays up. You've got access to your service providers.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that's not controllable is going to be the services that you're consuming from other people. Meaning that if you got Interact and Interact goes down because Interact didn't make a clever decision and, you know, make themselves redundant or diversify their providers, you're still going to have problems. You know, and this is where we get a cascading effect. You can only protect your business and your and what you do so much.
Well, and you can create your own redundancies too, right? I mean, there's other options besides taking Interact payments to take a payment. There's cash.
Yeah, for sure.
There's credit card. There's cash. Different credit card providers and different things like that that you can have at hand to diversify. So those are more, I guess, more ground level kind of, guerrilla, I guess, ways of creating redundancy for yourself. But there's nothing wrong with having a PayPal account, a Stripe account, and a Square account at hand. It doesn't cost you anything if you don't use it for the most part. So why not have that kind of stuff? And people need to start thinking down those terms.
Yeah, and I agree with you, right? I mean, what we're talking about here is how do we protect ourselves from all of these networks and companies that we now inherently rely on? Because inherent reliability is really, it's a dependence. And so if we're depending on one company and one provider to always be there, and like I said last time, you know, it's almost like we take it all for granted. Well, it's not almost like, we do take it for granted. We take it for granted that we have internet. We take it for granted that we're going to have cell phones. We take it for granted that we're going to have the ability to speak to each other. I mean, the fact that you and I are speaking like this is just, you know, it, 20 years ago, you couldn't even do this.
No, and I think, right? this is our generation. I think that, the 40 and up, or even maybe the 35 and up, that at least remember the time, there was a time we weren't able to do this.
But yeah.
Okay, but I wasn't trying to date you, okay? But my kids, you know, I still joke with them because they don't know what a dial tone is, you know? They don't know what a busy signal is. They don't know how to answer a phone and say hello to somebody, you know? Small little things like that we take for granted, and I think us, we've become kind of like them, where we take for granted services like this. And it goes back right to the beginning, which is, you know, planning for redundancies. Sandeep, we're running out of time, but I'm going to have you back on because there's so many things I want to talk about. Like, you know, SLA is one of those buzzwords that I think that we need to ask ourselves. The question is, what's the commitment from these carriers that we subscribe to? You know, what are their obligations to us? And if they don't meet that commitment, what's the recourse? And I think those are fun things that we could talk about down the road. But for now, I want to thank you for being here. Again, if people want to follow you, it's Into Sandeep on all social media. You're vice chair of the Linux Foundation Networking Mac and a brilliant man when it comes to all things telecom and networking like this. So please come back on in a couple of weeks and we'll get into some of the more nitty-gritty.
Absolutely.
That is Sandeep Panesar. We're going to take a quick break and come back here and wrap up the show. Thanks for being here, guys.
Your Tech Report will be right back.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at broadcastdialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.